This message is follow-up on what I gave last week, the call of Gideon. And I emphasized how that in that last message about weakness, that when we are weak, the Lord can use us. Well, this is a little bit of a continuation, but it's a little bit more about intimidation or about not just intimidation, but just our doubts, you know. Well, anyway, just as a review, Israel had sinned and they had served false gods. And Judges chapter 6, if you have a Bible and you need it, it's in chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 1 says, again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. And then, of course, they cried unto the Lord in their troubles, you know, and then God called Gideon. He was a timid man. He was he was unsure of himself. He had little courage. Called him to be the deliverer of Israel, a man who saw himself as weak, and God called him a mighty warrior, you know. Well, still doubtful and still unsure of himself and still not maybe trusting so much, Gideon said that he needed some more proof. So I'm going to read the passage where he's asking for some more proof. It says, Gideon replied, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you speaking to me. Give me a sign that it is really you speaking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you." And the Lord said, "I will wait until you return." Gideon went in, prepared a young goat, and from an ephah of flour, he made bread without yeast. Putting the meat in a basket and the broth in a pot, he brought them out and offered them to him under the oak. The angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on this rock, and pour out the broth." And Gideon did so. With the tip of the staff that was in his hand, the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Ah, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, "Peace, do not be afraid, you're not going to die." So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, "The Lord is Peace." To this day it stands in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Before we move on to the really important part, I think is the really important part of this passage, I want to look at Gideon's, the facets of Gideon's fear, you know, or his actually the facets of his sign seeking behavior, because I think it can identify little things about us sometimes. When God was calling him, just like sometimes God might call us to do something, and we might say exactly the same thing. "Is it really you talking to me, Lord? Is it really you talking to me?" I don't know how many times that has come to me when I feel like I'm hearing from the Lord, and I say, "Is that really the Lord? Is that, you know?" I think it's a common thing with us. And if we do that, it shows something about us, I think. And some of these things, some of these sign-seeking behaviors are things about being doubtful or being we might feel insecure about our identity or how significant we really are. Or maybe we just feel unworthy sometimes. So I think this is the things. We believe God spoke in the Bible in the past, but do we believe that Christ still speaks today? Well, he says in John 10, 27, I've repeated this several times in different sermons, but "My sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me." Another translation's, "My sheep hear my voice." So it's like, does Does he still, are we doubtful maybe that he still speaks today? He does through the Bible, we know that, but what about just for my personal situations, you know, are we doubtful about that? And then like Gideon, sometimes we might feel ourselves insignificant. He expressed that in the preceding verses before this passage. Do we feel too insignificant for God to speak to us? Well, nobody is insignificant with God. And why is that? Because he loves everybody. And we know that from Romans. I mean, he loves us to the extreme. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, while we were still rebelling against him, while we weren't doing his will, or running maybe in the other direction, Christ died for us. Christ died for us during the time that we were that way. So nobody's insignificant. Everybody is loved by God and significant to God. So yes, he can speak to everybody, and that's the reason people get saved, because the Holy Spirit speaks to their heart and they respond. So no, everybody's significant. And maybe we might feel unworthy to be serving the Lord. This is what he expressed, I think, Gideon. You know, we were all made in God's image. So being made in God's image means we're all called to serve. So yes, all of us are servants. All of us. All of us are made to be servants. We're in the image of the ultimate servant, God. So what sign was Gideon really looking for? And it's really funny because I think if you translate it, it's like, stick around while I go get an offering. And that's basically what he said for the sign. You just stick around. And it took a little while to do this. I don't know how long it takes to fix a goat, bake bread, and all that. It takes a couple hours, maybe. So that would be a sign to him. Well, he lost it when the fire flared up out of the rock, you know, and consumed the offering. And then the angel disappeared. And how did he react? He was so scared that God had to say to him, peace, do not be afraid. You're not going to die. And sometimes we fear the mysterious, but God is the ultimate mystery. And of course, we do fear the Lord, but I'm talking about that kind of cringing fear, you know, being scared. Well, God, the ultimate mystery, wants to turn our fears into faith. And so Gideon, he raised up a monument. You know, we raise up monuments when something extraordinary happens, and then we go back to our ordinary lives. Well, that's sort of what I think Gideon was. He maybe figured, okay, I got my sign, and I paid my tribute to the words of peace. I've made this altar. Now I can go back to normal life. No. We seek signs. God gives assignments, you know, and the next verses are really important. God really does speak to us. God really does affirm our significance and says we can serve him because he wants us to be servants. He gives us divine assignments to help us to see that we are significant. Yes. And we can do these things. So he told Gideon, go start a reformation. Go start a reformation. And in verse 25 and 27, this is what happened. That same night that he did that, you know, that same night, the Lord said to him, take the second bull from your father's herd, the one 7 years old, tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on the top of this height. Using the wood of the Asherah pole that you can cut down, offer the second bull as a burnt offering. So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord told him, but because he was afraid of his family and the men of the town, he did it at night rather than in the daytime. So Israel had cried out for deliverance from their oppression, but they didn't remove the cause of their oppression. And if we're going to be delivered from the things that have held us back, things that Satan has, the power of Satan's in our life, then we have to give up Satan's lies and Satan's ways. That's the first thing. We have to change. And I recently, on my blog, because I got several things on there now, but Jesus drew a line. I wrote this article to help people see there is no middle ground between the kingdom of God and the kingdom, the dominion of darkness. There is no middle ground. God's love is consistently holy. He receives us as sinners, but he doesn't ignore our sin. He saves us as sinners to make us into saints. He wants to transform us. He wants us to be saved from sinning. Not just to save from our sins, but to be saved from sinning. And so, but this is the thing. Giving up false gods was not all that they had to do. It says that they were supposed to return to a proper spiritual worship, to rebuild a proper kind of altar to the Lord. And this is the deal. God forbids sinful behavior, but he doesn't want us just to focus on the negatives. He doesn't want us to say what not to do. If we do that, we miss the point. We actually can get involved in legalism and get really far off. The real change comes from positive action. And, you know, Jesus is our example for that. In 2 Corinthians 1:19, it says, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you, was not yes and no, but in him it has always been yes," a positive. Now, God had told Gideon to lead the way in reestablishing a true spirituality, a real positive spirituality, even if those around him sticking to their diet of worldly things, you know, he was to feed on his assignment the same way Jesus fed on his assignment. And Jesus says, "My food," in John 4:24, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Well, God assigned this task to a fearful soul. Remember, he said, but because he was afraid of his family and the men of the town, he did it at night rather than in the daytime. God knew exactly what he was doing. He was giving this assignment to a weak man, a doubtful man. A man was very timid, and he knows what he's doing when he gives us missions to do, tasks to do. You know, he comes to us, gives us something to do that we feel, hey, this is beyond my gifts or abilities. This is out of my comfort zone, you know. But in our timidity, in our doubt, in our lack of confidence or maybe lack of courage, we may seek divine signs. Is this really you talking to me, Lord? But God turns around and gives us divine assignments. So God gives these special tasks to do, not just to accomplish his will in the world, but he wants to embody his will in us. He wants his will to be inside of us and being lived out of us. So he doesn't scold us if we do it secretly instead of in broad daylight, you know, and obey his will. But he's never gives up on us. He wants to lead us into a bold Christian behavior so that our fulfilling of his will is something we do in a bold way, confident in him. And that's where he's pushing Gideon towards. But he never gives up on us. He desires our spiritual growth. He wants us to reach maturity in Christ. And he wants us to achieve the potential that he sees in us. So that each of us becomes the what he calls the mighty warrior, a mighty warrior. That's what he sees in us, a mighty warrior in each one of us. And he wants us to become that mighty warrior that he calls us to be.